Right on. Hi, everybody. Ron Alcoholic. I'm not going to need this, so. You guys are going to hear me in the back, believe me. I'd like to welcome anybody new, anybody coming back, and welcome to AAA, and welcome to the Bay Group. This group here was my group for probably close to 15 years, and I sat right up in the front over here. But my first initial start in AA was 28 years ago, almost 29 years ago, and it was the Maritime Group. And Mike was there with me when we first started AA. So I'm coming up to 29 years on November the 3rd. So, you know, before I got here, you know, I'm just a longshoreman. I drank a lot, did lots of everything, and too much of everything. So I got here when I was 24, but just before I got here, you know, I know what it feels like being new. I know what it feels like, you know, to come here and going through hell and waking up and just not knowing what to do. So I hope I can answer a few of those questions for you, you know, because I remember sitting in that seat and I can remember sitting way at the very, very far back when I first came to AA. And I was shaking, and I was nervous, and I got brought to AA. I didn't come here, you know. I got brought here. I didn't know what AA was. I thought they would be playing tennis and, you know, and swimming pools, and, you know, boy, was I ever wrong. But, you know, I can remember, I'm going to talk about, you know, I drank just like you all, right? And I couldn't stop, and nothing I tried, I couldn't stop. So I did get brought to AA, and I can remember sitting at the very back, and I heard things I never heard before in the meetings. And what you guys gave me the very first day I came here, you guys gave me hope. And you know, to give hope to an alcoholic is to give them everything. And that's what you guys gave me. So I'm at the very far back, and I'm like, oh my God, Right On. I love this. And that's how I got the name Right On Ron, because I'm like, Right On. I'd hear people share. I'm like, Right On. Right On. It's like, everything's right on. And why wouldn't you love it here? Like, really, if you're not liking it here, leave. I don't want you to, but leave. You know, we want you here, and we will love you here, believe me. And the only thing that will get you to leave here, and it's not my loud voice, I'm going to tell you what makes you leave here and not ever come back here. And I'm going to tell you why you're here tonight. And it's your thinking. You know, I didn't know that the problem was my thinking. You know, you might think it's the alcohol is the problem, but it's not. It's only a symptom of the problem, right? So when you're dying and you're coming here and you don't know what to do and stuff like this, it's your mind is killing you. And the main problem in life, it's not alcohol. It's your thinking that will get you to it. Because your thinking will say this, you know what, forget it. You know what, just forget it. The guy's loud, I don't like him, I'm leaving, and I'm going to go drinking. But that comes from your thinking.
Right.
Right?
Right on.
You know, and I didn't know that. It is right on. And I didn't know that when I got here. All I wanted to do was just stop drinking. Just, you know what, somebody help me. Somebody help me. I was sitting at the back end, please help me. I want this more than anything in the world. And I did want it. But I didn't know what to do. I would even be willing to give you money. I was willing to do anything for sobriety. And I mean anything. I was willing to pay you. I was willing to do anything. And little did I know, I just had to come here and learn about Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, and everything, hey, Jason, love you, Jason. If you don't know Jason, he's a great guy. Yeah. So, you know, I didn't know nothing about AA, and I came here, but things weren't changing. I was sitting in the seat at the back, and I wasn't up at the front, and you know what was going through my mind? is why do they look so good looking? And why do they have money? And why do they have girlfriends? And why do they have cars? And you know, years ago you could smoke, and I'm watching the people with the cigarettes so I could bum some, right? And then I would be at the back there and I could tell you how much money people had because the jingle's in their pocket, right? They had money back then, right? And jingle, and they were rich, and I'm like, oh, I need to hang out with that guy, right? I need to hang out with this because I didn't have this. I didn't have nothing when I got here. Absolutely nothing. You're talking about spiritually, financially, bankrupt, dead, dying, 95 pounds when I got here. Now I'm like double that, at least. But I was here as a dying can get, but I was sitting in the back and things weren't changing. I was loving the meetings. I was loving the fellowship, so welcome to the fellowship. This is where we hang out, we talk about girls and AA and fun stuff, and we get to go to parties. This is the fellowship. But I needed to learn what would keep you here, and it was the program. And the program is the big book, and it's the 12 steps. So there's no way I'm going to come up here and talk to you guys about hope and love and everything else, but not give you a solution to go along with it. And it's the 12 steps.
Yep.
Right? So hopefully I can get through the whole 12 steps really quickly in about 10 minutes. And you know what? Who knows? So the very first part is that we're an alcoholic. You need to know you're an alcoholic. And you know what is an alcoholic? You know, like, that was the big question, like, what's an alcoholic, right? And I always thought it was, like, somebody down in Maine in Hastings. I didn't know if you cannot control it, and if you cannot stop entirely, and if you can't control it, means that you're an alcoholic. You're suffering from an illness which only a spiritual solution can fix. So we're talking about a spiritual solution here,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to get to that, but the problem is I needed to know the first step. And everybody, when I came to AA, I did all kinds of steps. I did steps from every treatment center and the big book that you can name. I did them all, and you know what? It was really, really confusing. So you know what? I kind of had to study it, and I needed to know what they're talking about. I needed to know what that alcoholic was. Right? And once I found out what the alcoholic was, then I could do something about it.
Yes.
Right? So I didn't know that I had this mind and this body that was really confusing, that I had this obsession of the mind that would lie to me about, yes, it's okay, or no, it's not okay, but I'm going to do it anyways. That's what my mind is. So main problem is my thinking. And then once I take it inside my system, something happens where I can't stop and I can't control it and I want more. And the more you drink, the more you want. So if I drink one, I kind of want more. If I drink two, I kind of want more. And it just keeps going that way and that way. That's what an alcoholic is. They can't stop and they can't control it. But, okay, now hear me out. Something happens before you even think about alcohol. You know, you guys ever get chased by the police? Well, I have. But you're getting chased by the police, right? And then you got the sirens on behind you. And something happens. And I'm going to tell you what happens. You get the same warning in AA before you pick up a drink. So something happens before I even think about drinking. It's called the spiritual malady. And what that is, it's that irritable, restless discontent. I'm not spiritually okay. And if you're not spiritually okay, I might even think about drinking. But if you're spiritually okay, you're not going to be wanting to drink. So I needed to know about this spiritual malady. It's that irritable, restless discontent. That's the stuff that causes me to go, oh my God, something's wrong with me. And I don't care if it's too good or if it's too bad. I'm spiritually not okay. And I don't care what's going on in your life. But if you're not spiritually okay, you're running on a thin ground there,
yeah.
Right? So if you're not spiritually okay, what happens then is I might think about drinking.
Yeah.
And if I'm thinking about drinking, it's not going to be long before I do drink, right? So if you're even thinking about drinking tonight, or if it's even gone through your head, you're spiritually not okay, right? So what you need to do is you need to get, okay, there's step one, but you need to get to step two. Let's forget about step one. Step one's the problem is our thinking is the main problem. They tell me that on page 23. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind.
Yeah.
Okay, so if the main problem centers in my mind, I don't want nothing to do with it for right now until I get to step 11. No thinking involved to stay sober. No, look at Jason. Look at me. If I can do it, we can do it, so can Mike can do it. Oh, sorry, Mike. But there's no thinking involved in staying sober. That's not how you're going to stay sober. But I'm going to get to the solution. The solution is God. Okay, and I, like, you know, I'm trying to search for God, and I'm, where's God? And, you know, oh, my God. Went to Hawaii, went to Buddhist temples. I was even talking, I went to pyramids and pray, and, like, God, 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 God. Like, come on, please. You know, can't we find where God is? And I little did I know that they told me where God is in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it told me on page 25. And it says, our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a place which is indeed miraculous. So where's God? In our hearts. So I've always listened to my heart from that day on. And I'm still here. Right? And my heart has never told me the never told me a lie. It's always told me the truth by praying and listening to my heart. Doesn't matter what the question is. If you want to listen to the truth, if you want to hear God, listen to your heart. At the back of the big book, it says, our members have tapped an unexpected inner resource, which they presently use as a power greater than themselves. It's telling you where God is. When Bill and Bob were sitting down that day, I think it's on page 11, Bill said this in the big book. He said, something happened in the human heart that did the impossible. Him and Abby were sitting down, and something happened in the human heart where Abby's not drinking anymore. And that was his sponsor. And he was 2 months sober and says, hey, Bill, do you want a drink? Or, you know, Bill's offering him a drink. And Abby says, no. Like, what the heck happened? It's because it happened in the heart. So there's a solution. So little did I know that I had the problem and I had the solution within me. But I was always in the problem, always in the head. Head, thinking, right? Oh, I'm going to think myself. Oh, I think I'm doing. No, don't. Listen to your heart. Yes. Like truly listen to your heart. Pray and listen to your heart. That's kind of steps 2 and 3. You know, we made a decision to turn our will and life over to care of God. Well, our will is my thinking, and my life is, you can have it. I messed it up. Right? Go ahead. I am, you know what? I'm going to listen to my heart. And it tells us, you know, about the spiritual malady before we even get to step 4. It talks about that we are unhappy. That's what they say about this spiritual malady, is that our thinking and we're so unhappy. So if you're unhappy, you're in the spiritual malady. You're in step 1. I have found that 97% of people are in the problem. They're always thinking. And the people who are thinking are miserable. I can look around this room. I can tell you who's in step 1. It's a miserable ones. Right? Sorry. And I can see who's in their hearts. Every day I can see who's in their hearts. They're the people who are smiling. They're the ones who are caring. They're the ones who are loving life to the fullest. And that's what they give you just in the first 3 steps. Here's what happens. You're not going to stay sober. And let me guarantee on that, just because I know where the solution is, it's within me, it's in prayer. I know that, but you're not going to stay sober. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because I have these defects of character. And what happens is I judge people, right? And people cut me off. And people don't want to do what I say or whatever. And I get resentful or I get into self-pity. Self-pity and resentment almost sent Bill back out drinking. Resentment is the number 1 offender. Yep. Step 2 is self-pity. Yep. And self-pity is poison for the alcoholic. I can remember this guy from California. He turned out to be my sponsor, my second sponsor. His name's Milton. And I love Milton. And I heard this powerful speaker up at the podium. And he said, you have to love me. And I'm like, I'm at the back. I don't like this guy. He says, you have to love me. And you know what my mind's saying? Nope, don't love him. Nope. I was at the back. Nope, don't love him. And I said it over and over. And then he says, I'm going to tell you why you have to love me. It's because if you don't love me, it means you don't like me. And if you don't like me, it means that you might have a resentment against me. And if you have a resentment against me, it means that you could go back out drinking. So you have to love me. I'm like, I love this guy. I love this guy. He's right. I love Milton. He's not with us today, but you know, I share so many great memories with Milton, and he introduced me to his niece, and she lives in Australia now with her husband, and every time she comes to Vancouver, she gets a hold of me, and her name's Tian, and you know what? She's been sober, I guess, maybe 17 years, and you know, the friendships I get in Alcoholics Anonymous are years and years, but the ones that are in their hearts. Yeah. Mike's one of them, right? There's Nadine, there's Immacula, there's Jody, there's Janice, there's Jason. There's so many people that I love and I adore today, and that's because of AA. So let's get to step four. So I have these resentments, and I don't know what to do with them. I got resentments, and I have fears, and I got sex, and I got harms that I need to deal with. Little did I know, anybody here, you can talk to me after the meeting, you can even look me up online, I'm like rightonron.com or whatever, you can email me and tell me what you think, and I'll help out anybody, but a resentment has nothing to do with you. I didn't know that. My sponsor says, hey, do you got any resentments? I'm like, oh, I have hundreds. I was excited. Now somebody who understands me. So I wrote down all this, and what I have found is, you know, going through the steps and working through the steps is it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with how I react to you. That's what it is about. So if you're me, if you're pissed off because I'm too loud, or if you don't like me or don't like somebody else, has nothing to do with them. It's how I react to them. And that's what we're dealing with. How I react to you. And what I have found is once I do step four and I get through the fears and I get through the sex and I get through the harms, is I get to step five and then I get to step six, and that's our defects of character. And I'm going to tell you why we have to do step six and what step six and what step seven is. Step six is thinking about knowing about a defect of character. Like that person who cuts me off, my mind goes right away. They shouldn't be cutting me off. That's what my mind says, but that's a defect of character. And why we have defects of character is you can put your hand out like this and you can name the five things that really bother you in life. Do you get me? Like things that I react to. Like, oh, I hate people every day. I hate people. I don't care what it is. But name your five top things. God wants you on the other end of that. How do you change that defect of character? You can't without God's help. So let's just say I'm selfish and self-centered. I'm just selfish and self-centered. Well, God wants you to be giving. Right? So if you hate people, and I'm really mean, and if you're that way, God wants you to love people. And I have found is that step seven, with God's help, you're gonna get there. Right? And what's your plan of action? I want to know what your plan of action is to stay in God's will. That's step seven. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Like, what do I do? How you can't do it without God's help and through some new sort of action. Brings us to step eight and step nine. Step nine is making amends to people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Yep. Making amends. There's no way in the world I'm going to make amends to you. There isn't. There's no way I'm going to see any one of you. I don't care what I've done to you. I'm not going to come to you, and I'm not going to make amends to you without making amends to me first. I need the love. I need the support. I need the love. I need this for me today. And when you can make amends to you first, then you can make amends to the world. Then you can walk around freely and say, do you know what? Hey, do you know what? I was wrong. I was wrong for quitting smoking one day before you. Sorry, Mike. I said, hey, do you want to quit smoking Sunday? I quit Saturday. And that was 20, whatever, 6 years ago. Sorry, Mike. Hey, but you know what? That's what I'm getting at, is you have to make direct amends. But you need to love you first. And how do you love you? My love for me today is going to the gym every day. And I've been going, and I got my personal trainer here, and I'm very fortunate, and, you know, that's how I make amends to me today, is by loving me. I still got about 4 minutes, so I'll really make this quick. I wanted to know how to forgive you. Like, how do you forgive yourself over all the horrible things you've done? I did some really horrible stuff. I only drank up to 24 and did a lot of bad things up to 24, believe me. How do you forgive you? Like, how? Does anybody know? I know. Because I went through this, and I through years and years, I went through this, and I studied, and I know how to forgive anyone today. And it has nothing to do with them. It has to do with you. You need to love you, period.
That's right.
When you love you, that's the biggest forgiveness you're going to have in your life. And how do you forgive you? It's by loving you and doing loving things for you. That's how you get forgiveness. It's not about them. It's about you. And that changed my life. So, you know, I work this. I have to work this. Yeah. You know, and I have to love me today. I'm the most important person here. It's not you. You might hear it different. You might say, oh, you're the most important. You're not. I am. But when it comes to you, you are.
Yes. Right on.
Right?
Right on.
Yes.
Right on.
Newcomers most important. No. Old-timers, no. You're the most important person in this room today. Love you.
Yes.
So I know how y'all got here. I know how everybody got here to AA. I know how you got here tonight. Yeah. I can tell you exactly how you got here. Your heart got you here tonight.
Nice.
God got you here tonight. Not your head, because my head would probably tell me I'd rather go to the P&E and see the scary shit, or I'd rather be working out, or I'd rather be with some, you know, somewhere else than at an AA meeting. But because I live in my heart today, and because I can love me today, that's why I'm here, and that's why you're here. That's what brought you to AA. Because I remember all of you, when you were first trying to get sober, and you're trying to get sober, and, you know, somehow somebody says, let's come to AA. And your mind probably said, no. But then your heart says, yeah, you better go. You listen to your heart, and it got you here tonight. And it got you to the ruins of AA. Use that. Use that and keep it. A guy came up to me. I still got 3 minutes. A guy.
Go for it.
Yeah. So, you know, it brings us to step 10. And step 10 is continue to take personal inventory. I need to work this every single day in my life. I do. I need to do this. And there's 5 things that you need to do. You need to know about it. You need to pray about it. You need to tell somebody immediately. You need to make amends quickly. And then you resolutely turn your thoughts on how you can help others. That's step 10. And that's all through the day. Step 11 is really important. Step 11 is like about 70% to 30% what I should be doing more and more. Does anybody know? Should I do the awakening? Is that more important? Or should I do when I retire at night? You guys got any guesses?
Both.
Yeah, but what's more important? One's 70 and the other one's 30 as far as I'm concerned. And I'm going to explain to you why. Does anybody know what's really more important? Is it what? At night. At night is right. And I'm going to tell you why it's so important to do when I retire at night. There's 9 questions that you have to answer every single night. I need to answer those questions. And it actually takes you through the steps. Darn, I got another minute. So you have to go through all the steps. So that's why when I retire at night, do that 9 questions and do that. I already got that, yeah. So that's step 11. Step 12, help others. And how do I help you today? Do you know what? I drove you to detoxes. I've driven you to treatment centers. You name it. You talk about the service work. I've done lots of it. Nothing helps you more and helps the alcoholic more than this. And it's to love them and help them through the 12 steps. If you want to live an amazing life, do these 12 steps. It's going to change your life and it's going to keep you sober. Do the 12 steps. Right? And, you know, I'm not up here like trying to push the big book or the steps, but it saved my life. And you know what? It can save your life too. And this is what I do daily, as I help people through the steps. I got it worked out to like 12 hours. So if you got 12 hours out of your time, do the 12 steps and change your life. Thanks for my sobriety. I love you guys.
Thank you, Ron, for sharing your story with us.
Right on.
At this time, I'd like to get the secretary to come and give a report.
Yeah, Kat.